racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Well, it's been yet another record-setting week on the PGA Tour. Hi, I'm Bob Bupka. Delighted to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter, and you're now in the grill room with Bob and Jay. I'm going to get Jay in this conversation in just a moment. We witnessed Tiger get that 82nd victory. I've covered all 15 of Tiger's majors. Jay's been with me on a lot of those himself, slamming Sam Snead with 82 wins. Now he's tied by Tiger. Your reaction, Jay Randolph Jr.?
I mean, all that's left is the three professional majors. If you look at the way Jack assesses it, it would only be two professional majors because Jack counts his amateurs to take him to 20. And Tiger, as we know, has three U.S. Ams. I thought it was fantastic. I think it lets some of the young people who did not witness what you and I did maybe begin to realize that 82 is a giant number. He did it in 359 starts, whereas Sam did it in 425. Bob, I thought it was fantastic. I probably watched darn near every minute of his play, and that even dates back to the Monday when the front nine, you and I could have beat him in the Japan Skins.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jay, you brought up a great point. It's probably difficult for people to wrap their head around somebody winning 82 times on the PGA Tour. So I came up with this, and I think it'll help people comprehend a little bit better. Take Sergio Garcia, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Ernie Els, Davis Love III, and Rory McIlroy together. All of those guys, 82 wins.
Yeah, I mean, it's in this day and age, especially moving forward, as we see so many fantastic players across the globe, you know, I think he'll break it. I think based on what we saw, the number's going to be 83 plus. And, you know, we get caught sometimes when we say records are meant to be broken or they're not meant to be broken. I just, you know, I'd love to know whether the number's going to be 83 or 84 or 90 or 91. We could make some money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also the grill room, let's give some credit where credit is due. Magnificent personality, a magnificent person that played on the LPGA Tour and dominated, you know, very well, Jay. Kathy Whitworth, 88 LPGA victories. I mean, just goes to show the dominance that she had while she was playing.
And not probably talked enough because the attention wasn't paid enough to what Whit was doing to her place in the game. You're right. I mean, my feeling is Annika's the best, but, you know, numbers may tell a different story. But, you know, in the debate of Tiger and Jack, I mean, you know, things are starting to add up for Tiger. And this comeback from where he was, Bob, I mean, you and I saw him when he was untouchable, and then he got touched to the point where you're about as low as you can go. And now in this last of the comebacks where it appears he's been healthy or healthy enough to do what he needs to do, he's got three signature wins, the season-ending Tour Championship, the Masters, and now the first-ever PGA Tour event in Japan.
Well, it's kind of amazing because you always hear Bennett about, you know, he hit rock bottom. I guess rock bottom in Tiger's case would be running into a fire hydrant while your now ex-wife is beating on your windshield with a wedge. I would call that rock bottom.
Well, and getting pulled over by the Crime Stoppers with the help of prescription drugs, to the point where he had a problem. I mean, we remember the news conference that just made no sense, and the comebacks that made no sense, and it almost had become a sideshow. And to have been able to, and you have to pause for a moment, Bob, and you know as well as anybody, that whether you like it or not, Earl Woods instilled a lot of things in the kid. And commitment and drive were two of the key essentials. And he hasn't lost that. And that's what keeps him going.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. And since you mentioned Earl Woods, I guess maybe we should have had our antennas a little bit better tuned when Tiger was only 2.5 years old, appearing on the Mike Douglas TV show, demonstrating hitting some golf shots. And if that wasn't a powerful enough message, I think what transpired when he was 5, getting to play 2 holes with Sam Snead. Snead beats him by a shot on the first hole, and Snead beats Tiger on the second hole by a shot. Tiger's 5. After that, Snead walked away in total amazement. But that's easy to understand. But it's very difficult to comprehend. Tiger walked away bitterly disappointed because he thought he should have beat him. He was 5 years old, Jay.
Yeah, it's a unique story with a lot of bridges, with a lot of bumps, a lot of question marks. I mean, the whole Hughes Norton stuff, he seems to have the people around him now. Steinberg made it through the rain, and he was smiling over there a lot. So he's in a good place. If he stays healthy, he's up to like 6th in the world. 19 months ago, he was in the 1200s or something. It's unique, and it's unique that it's going on at a time that we've got so many great worldwide players, and all you needed to look at was Rory McIlroy's final 36, and just remember, oh yeah, Rory McIlroy's still playing good golf.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up a great point about his health. And, I'm starting to believe a little bit more, Jay, that latest knee operation, which took place late in this past summer, was really something that he desperately needed and seems to have him now on the right track. Matter of fact, Tiger talks about how that knee operation impacted his performance.
The knee wasn't allowing me to rotate, and because of that, it put more stress on my lower back and my hip. So it was one of those things where, as I was telling you guys earlier, that I was going to do this procedure last year after the Hero and get it done, but I felt like I was rolling after winning the Tour Championship, and I wanted to play Torrey Pines. So I didn't do the procedure, and as the year went on, it deteriorated a bit, and I struggled. Now that I'm able to clear a little bit better, I feel better. I'm able to hit shots that I know I can hit, and this week was a good sign for the future.
Well, the operation was a success. Well, we can get a little deeper into the mindset now of Tiger Woods and his health. And we want to thank Golf Channel for allowing us to use the audio. But Tiger talks overall right after that victory about his game.
As far as playing, I didn't really know that, I would come back and play at this level. But the fact that I could get down and read a putts again, something that I hadn't been able to do in months. So it's something very subtle and simple like that. It makes a difference. And then I felt more comfortable with my putter just because I was able to build a better stance. And swing-wise, my speed started coming back. Ironically, my back has been less sore. Because of it, I've been able to rotate better. But still, it's always going to be sore, but it's just less sore. But, the way I started out this week, and who would have guessed that, bogeying the first 3 holes, I'd come out and shoot the way, shoot the numbers that I shot. But I was able to fight back, and I made a few mistakes this week, but they weren't bad. And when I did get it out of position, I put myself back in position. And on top of that, I made a lot of putts.
Making a lot of putts, always a pretty good formula there, Mr. Randorf. They're kind of interesting what's going on now on the PGA Tour. The last seven 54-hole leaders or co-leaders have gone on to win. That's pretty remarkable. And to show how remarkable it really is, the last time it was done was way back in 1979, Jay.
Well, speaking of way back, when things happen, the last time somebody bogeyed the first three holes and went on to win a PGA Tour event was 2003. That's what Tiger did. I took away when he said, I have the ability, I know I have the ability to hit the shots I need to hit. That's big. That's a big statement from him. And he also said after the round, And I think we know this, that he still knows his way around a golf course. And after the round, they talked to Woodland. And Woodland said, you know, he misses some shots, but almost seemingly every time he misses them, I mean, he's in the right spot. So that course knowledge ability that he's had is probably one of the things that's allowing him to be as competitive as he is, other than the health.
And I remember, Jay, you and me talking about comments that were being made by guys that were playing on the PGA Tour along the lines of, boy, I wish Tiger could get healthy again. I wish I could play against Tiger at his best. Well, you know, that saying that's been around for a long time, be careful what you wish for, certainly couldn't be any truer than it pertains right now to Tiger Woods. I don't know if guys on the tour want to go up against Tiger playing at his best.
Well, that's what's so fascinating about our game right now, with so many elite guys, or at least guys that we believe are elite, and yet the guy that we once saw as the most dominant player of all time is now back in a fashion where he can win golf tournaments. Now, you know, I think he's got to pick and choose. He's got to pick and choose right spots as it relates to his game. Plan the health situation. There's a lot that goes into it, because you don't necessarily get the sense that he can win every week, but it's these certain weeks like he had at the Masters where he gets everything out of his game, and that week he's able to win.
No, you're 100% correct there. Let's crunch the numbers a little bit, Mr. Randorf. Tiger Woods' 82nd career victory, it came when he was 43. Sam Snead was 52. And the big number, I think, Jay, took Snead 425 starts to win his 82. Only took Tiger 359. Pretty amazing.
Well, real amazing. And I was lucky enough to be around Sam Snead seven or eight times. I got to play 18 holes of golf with him in West Virginia once. And Sam is one of the greats of all time and one of the great ball strikers of all time. But he's not Tiger Woods as it relates to a player. And it just, it's staggering, as you said, the numbers. And, you know, as I said at the beginning of the show, the people that, and I don't blame people for holding Jack in the regard of being the greatest player of all time. My motto is Arnold's the greatest personality the game ever had. Jack's the greatest champion, and Tiger's the, nobody ever played golf like Tiger Woods. I don't care what you say. So, you know, I'm sure Sam was looking down going, look at this guy. Look at this kid I met when he was five.
All right, I'm not going to let you off the hook this easy. You played 18 holes of golf. I want to know how bad you chopped Sam Snead there, Jay Randorf.
I was 13, and I lucked out. I was at a pro-am in West Virginia with my dad, and my dad kind of knew that a guy might not be showing up who paid to play with Sam, and so I He got me some rental clubs, and I got to play with Sam, and I'll never forget. The man was 74 years old, and we were 251 on a par five, and he hit driver. And when I say driver, folks, I mean persimmon driver. I mean shafts that are old school. And he slapped it on the green at 74, 251, and I didn't know what to think. What an incredible, what a character. I mean, nobody likes Sam.
And the rest of that story, the guy that was supposed to show up, that Jay Randolph took his place, he was found tied up in his car, not any more than 10 miles from the golf course.
Well, I love it.
As Tiger's career rolled along, at what point did he start thinking that he could get to that 80-win total, is what Tiger said.
Probably when I got probably north of 50. But then, unfortunately, you know, I went through some a rough patch with my back and didn't play for a number of years. And so that record seemed like it was out of reach. But having had my fourth back procedure and been able to come back and play at a decently high level again, it put the number back in a conversation again. And lo and behold, here we are tied.
So pretty amazing when you consider the amount of time that he had to take off. All right, let's move along, Jay Randolph Jr. Does he get to number 83?
I mean, based on what we saw, yes. I mean, I don't think you can say no. There's no reason to believe that he can't. What do you say?
Well, I certainly will concede 83. The one that I've not conquered yet is 19, as far as majors, even 18 to tie Jack. Three more majors, boy, that's a lot. Mainly because of what you touched on just a couple of minutes ago, Jay, the quality and depth of the field out there and the lack of fear of winning. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have young players coming out onto the PGA Tour that are highly talented, but that doesn't mean that they're comfortable getting in a position to win. These guys nowadays, they certainly are comfortable. Matter of fact, they kind of think they're going to win. So, I don't know, three more majors for Tiger. I think a lot will be dictated what happens in April. I mean, you know, Augusta National, it's tailor-made for Tiger Woods. Now, if he gets to number 16 by winning the Masters, I would think all bets are off. I would think 18 would definitely be in his sights. If he lets that one go by, I think that road to 18 will begin to start getting a little tougher.
There's no doubt. It's definitely tough. I mean, it would take almost a Herculean effort. I mean, if he were able to do that, that would take it to a new stratosphere. It wouldn't put him equal with Jack if he won 18, to me, not with all the other things and the impact and all that. So it is fascinating to watch. And some good play by Gary Woodland. He recorded his fourth consecutive top five in Asia with a solo fifth for the U.S. Open champion. Hideki trying to do it in his homeland. Boy, missed a big putt at 14. It could have been a game changer, but in the end, he ends up solo second. And the first ever tournament in Japan was fantastic. Time for a short break. And when we return, we'll take a look at what's next on the schedule. And it's a dual tournament week for the PGA Tour schedule. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We've gone over Tiger Woods and his return to the winner's circle and joining the great slamming Sam Snead at 82 PGA Tour victories. You want to find Bob or I on Twitter, it's real simple. Jay Randolph Jr., STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Bob Bubka, VOG on Twitter. And as I like to point out, it's appropriately that VOG for the voice of golf. And voice, we got another big one in the off season or fall, not off season, the fall season, a WGC event, the World Golf Championship, HSBC Champions in Shanghai, and a really good field that will not include Brooks Koepka, who had the spill on the cart path over in the Far East and flew home to get the best treatment and evaluation that he could.
Yeah, we got our fingers crossed for Brooks Koepka. I mean, simply amazing talent. Adds so much to that professional golf scene. But boy, knees are tricky. And hopefully prognosis is going to be a good one, and he'll take the proper time and not rush back. You know, they always say athletes, the biggest crime they commit, Jay, is that they come back too soon from an injury. I really feel strongly that the psyche of Brooks Koepka, he's not going to fall into that situation. I think if anything, he may take longer than even necessary to come back. I just think he respects his body enough that he knows that he has to get healthy and then come back, and he'll be just fine. Best of luck to Brooks Koepka. I know you joined me in that sentiment.
No doubt. It appears that he's doing okay because he went to a Halloween costume party with his lady Jenna Sims, Paulina Gretzky, and Dustin Johnson. So it appears he's doing okay. But we've got some big sticks that are teeing it in Shanghai, including Mickelson, Rory, who continues to stay in top form. Rosie, Justin Rose, Keegan Bradley, who woke up last week and played so well alongside Tiger Woods in that final group. Patrick Reed, Bob, he's still fighting for a captain's pick. And one thing we haven't discussed, and to finish the discussion on Tiger, does Tiger pick Tiger for the team?
No, Tiger didn't pick Tiger for the team. He picked himself when he won in Japan. I mean, it was amazing. Prior to the victory, many argued, well, it would be a joke if Tiger picked himself to play in Australia. Now it'd be a travesty if he doesn't pick himself. Plus, NBC would put a hit out on Tiger if he doesn't pick himself to play. Don't worry about Tiger. He'll be playing down under. One other thing, you mentioned Brooks going to that Halloween party. No truth to the rumor that he was dressed in a Tiger suit. No truth to that whatsoever.
Bob gets that inside information from the party. Hideki's playing, the defending champion in Shanghai. Another guy that seems to play well in the Far East is Xander Schauffele. Watch out for him. I mean, this is strong here. You got Sergio, Bubba Watson, Paul Casey, a lot of big names, Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about this one, Jay Randolph Jr.? A year ago, let's turn back the clock. A year ago, we're talking about the President's Cup. We're talking about going down under. Well, Jordan Spieth, he'll be on the team. Tiger, are you kidding me? He won't be on the team. Now, right now, if nothing changes drastically, it certainly appears Tiger's going to be on that team, and Jordan Spieth will not.
Yeah, it's I mean, I've been talking about this since the British Open 2 years ago. It's really confounding with Jordan, and it's got to be ripping him up. There's no doubt about it. You've also got Adam Scott trying to keep form for the President's Cup in his homeland. Kevin Kisner, who always seems to play good. Tommy Fleetwood. This is a hell of a tournament. I mean, the only guys missing, really, Tiger, Justin Thomas, who's played the last 2 weeks over in the Far East, is saying no. And Victor Hovland's going to finally take a week off and count all the money he's made basically as a rookie.
Yeah, you better count fast because that pile's pretty big. And also taking place, best of luck to the people down in Bermuda at the Port Royal Golf Club. I've been there on several occasions. I really enjoy the golf course. Good people down there. I wish, tremendous success at, it's their debut on the PGA Tour, but I got to believe where it's located and the weather and the amenities for Bermuda, going to be fantastic. One little problem, I don't know if the players are going to be happy with their courtesy cars. I got word they're going to be scooters because that's all they get in Bermuda. But anyhow, good. How about Fred Funk and his son Taylor Funk is going to be playing? Boy, we're getting old, Mr. Randolph.
Well, Freddie, one of the really great guys, former golf coach at Maryland, then played a lot of PGA of America events and fought his way and said, you know what, I'm going to give the tour another try, and made it. His son Taylor also playing. Lanto Griffin, that's right, Lanto Griffin, still leads the FedEx Cup point list. Tiger moved, I think, to 10th, and that's because he had no other points. I don't know whether this part of Bermuda got ravaged by some of the hurricanes, but they've had trouble down there in the last couple of years, so this is great that they're going to have some players like Mike Weir in the field, Bo Hostler, who we always keep our eye on. Pretty good field for a secondary event.
Yeah, and I get a little chuckle when I see the name Frank Licklider. I remember the first time I met Frank Licklider. We were in LAX, and I saw a bellman with an oversized cart and about 12 huge pieces of luggage on the cart, and standing alongside of it was Frank. And I said, Frank, that's not all your stuff, is it? He said, no, that little duffel bag's mine, the rest of my wife's, and we're only here for a week. Apparently his wife was quite a fashion plate. It needed 5 or 6 huge suitcases just to go to L.A. for the week. What about Davis Love? He's going to be playing down there. He's just been announced within the last day or so, Jay, that he's going to be part of the CBS broadcast team. Your initial reaction to that announcement?
Two longtime CBS personalities, Peter Costas and Gary McCord, let go by CBS. It certainly is a change up. The only thing that is constant is change. Davis will do all right. He's not going to say anything wrong to get himself in trouble. Give a player's perspective. I'll be interested to see how they utilize Davis and how do they replace Costas as kind of that walking soldier he has been. But it's a shakeup.
Yeah, definitely. All those years, of course, the CBS golf team anchored by, I think, one of the best in the business, Jim Nance, also a very nice guy, and working alongside of him, 6-time major winner, Nick Faldo. Also playing down Bermuda, Jack's son Gary Nicklaus into the field. That should make it a little interesting.
His name's Gary Nicklaus.
Yeah, and that guarantees a couple of interested spectators walking just outside the ropes. I can see Barbara and Jack now down watching Gary.
And good luck. You know, Gary's a stick.
Well, I can remember down in Atlanta, the Bell South Classic, I think it was, and at the end of 72 holes, two-way tie at the top, Phil Mickelson and Gary Nicklaus, and Phil eked him out in that playoff. Otherwise, Gary Nicklaus would have been a winner on the PGA yep. Tour. Well, we're going to take another short break. It's time to book your Hawaiian vacation at the Kapalua Villas, the one great place to stay when you go to Maui.
When we return, Bob and Alex, the mouth who roars, Alex Maselli, will discuss the future of golf for the average golfer. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator, freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Once again, we welcome in to the Grill Room none other than Alex Maselli, founder, publisher of Morning Read. And Alex, obviously golf with a big shot in the arm with the victory by Tiger. So at the professional level, seems to be doing all right. What I want you to shed some light on for us is the other aspects of golf. I mean, golf course operations, the number of rounds being played, the length of time it takes, the expense. I mean, the prototype of a country club golfer 20 years ago, it would be, every Saturday, every Sunday. I don't see that anymore. What do you see?
Well, I think you're right, Bob. The idea that whoever it is, the woman or the man, is dedicating more time to family or work, it's very clear. And that dedication means that the leisure time that you would have spent playing golf, which might have been on a Saturday, might have been the whole day. I mean, people used to get up 6-7 o'clock in the morning, go to the golf course, play 18 holes, have lunch or have a couple of drinks, get home about 4 or 5 o'clock. That is not the norm anymore. And because of that, and you find it not only in the United States, but you find it a huge issue in Europe, is that people just aren't playing as much. And then all of a sudden the memberships go down. And when the memberships go down, then you start seeing courses close. Now, the country club closures aren't as big in the United States, but in the UK, they are significant in regards to the clubs that are closing.
Of course, that does absolutely identify the problem. But I think that the real problem is, as hard as I try to think of maybe some remedies or some solutions to getting more people to play, they don't quickly come to mind. I mean, if I own a golf course, I'm almost at a loss on how to cultivate more play.
Well, I mean, I think to some extent this might be cyclical. I think that this turns around at some point. I'm not saying it's going to get back to where the heydays of before, but, you know, when you really break down playing golf and what it is, especially if you can get your kids interested, you know, you're outside, which is what we talk about, instead of being inside with a phone or a computer or a television. You're enjoying nature. You're being able to walk and talk. You're getting exercise. I mean, it's certainly the best sport as you get older. But even as you're younger, it's a great sport. And I think that's where we miss the boat. That's where we're not talking enough about the benefits of golf per se. I mean, it's a lifetime sport for everybody. And why people wouldn't want to do that in their start it in their, you know, teens and get and continue with it in their 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, I don't know. Because if you're anywhere close to competitive as a person and you have a competitive nature, there's no sport that you're going to be competitive in when you get into your 50s and 60s, except for golf.
Well, one problem is, as I see it, it does consume a lot of your disposable income. And, you know, it just seems to be getting more and more expensive. Golf balls. And then, you know, you pay your annual membership if you're at a country club, and then you don't have time to take full advantage of the benefits that you're entitled to. It makes it a rather poor investment.
Well, I think the clubs are making some changes to that nowadays. So, like, as an example, let's say you belong to a gym, or you go to yoga class, or you go to spin class, or whatever it might be, and you spend money to join these particular things. If, in fact, the country club, which is what they're doing, if they can expand their reach in regards to creating a gym atmosphere in there, if they have a pool, if they have tennis courts, if they have spin classes, if they have, you know, a good restaurant, now all of a sudden your membership makes more sense to you, because now you're not paying the $100 to a yoga membership or this or that. So that's some of the things that some of the clubs are doing. Country clubs. Golf clubs are a different story, because if you're a golf club, what you're there for is golf. And I think most of the golf clubs understand that, and they have done what they can do to make it worthwhile for their membership. But I think the other thing you're losing is that a lot of municipal golf courses, not the middle of the road golf courses, not the high end daily fee, but the municipal golf courses are doing well as well, because the cost, as you said, to play at a municipal course is not that bad. And a lot of them are in pretty good shape. You know, growing grass is not as much of an art form as it used to be, but there's a lot of good superintendents out there that are not at country clubs. And so I think that you're starting to see some of the, you know, if you look at the numbers, the municipal numbers are good. It's the high-end daily fee courses that are the ones that are getting hurt, because they were not joining those clubs. There's no other amenities outside of the golf. And so those are the ones that are having the struggles. But most of the country clubs have figured out a way to deal with keeping their membership at least at a number that they can survive at. And I think you're going to see more and more of that. And they will do more and more things to make sure that those members want to participate and be at their club.
One other thing along those lines, and we're talking to Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, Junior Golf. I've been hearing more and more about that over the last few years. I mean, to me, that makes all the sense in the world. If you can get the youngsters involved, you know, in their early teens or 15, 16, whatever, they have a pretty good chance that they'll continue to play after they become adults.
Yeah, there's a lot of programs involved with junior golf, and it's at the highest levels. It's the PGA of America, it's the USGA, it's the LPGA. I guess you can even give somewhat credit to the PGA Tour, but especially there's the programs that are done with the PGA of America and the LPGA together jointly have been very, very successful. And I think, again, you know, some of it is, like you just talked about, the fact that you see a Tiger Woods winning in his 40s. Tiger is an icon to a lot of young kids. I mean, when Tiger talks about the fact that, you know, Matt Wolf, who is out there now playing in the Zozo last week, was not even born when Tiger won his first major in 1997 at the Masters. I mean, that just shows you the depth of Tiger Woods over time. And so he's bringing all of these kids into play. And seeing pictures of Tiger drinking his, you know, Pepsi or Coke, whatever it was, next to Sam Snead, and the discussion about the fact that, you know, he played two holes with Sam Snead. This is a little kid doing that. And other little kids see that and say, I want to play golf. And let's be honest, Jack Nicklaus always talked about the fact that his mom used to drop him off at the golf course in the morning, and he played all day, and then he'd get back and come back at night. And there's something to be said for that. And some kids can relate to that and how, you know, how much fun that sounds like it is. So I think golf has become a little more cool, not only for, you know, teenagers or older, but even the younger kids. And that's what you have to get them at. You have to get them there. And they can play on their video games at night when you can't play golf. But in the day, if we can get them to spend 2 or 3 hours on a golf course, you know, 3 or 4 times a week in the summer and once or twice a week in the winter, that's a positive.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.